We turn in God's inspired word this evening to Psalm 22. As we enter this week, the Passion Week of our Lord, I call your attention to one of the Psalms that speaks prophetically of the sufferings of Christ. The first part of this Psalm in particular, in the last half of the Psalm, speaks of the victory that Christ obtained for us in His death on the cross. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but Thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in Thee. They trusted and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee and were delivered. They trusted in Thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But Thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon Thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not Thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste Thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. And so far we read in God's holy word. The text to which I call your attention is verses 14 and 15. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 22 has a very real historical setting. It's expressive of the life of David, the man of God, God's suffering servant. But when you consider this passage from the viewpoint of David's suffering, you see that the suffering that he experienced was a suffering that he faced especially as a type of the King of Kings, who was Jesus. Jesus was in David's loins. That's why this psalm is so frequently quoted in the New Testament as applying directly to our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone sang this psalm in perfect fulfillment of all its sorrows and its joys as well. The sorrows of David were very real sorrows. We know the history of his life. His afflictions were many, his trials were grievous. Certain historical circumstances in David's own life can be pointed to as examples and possible occasions for this outcry of his grief. But the deeper we get into this psalm, the more we realize that the suffering of David was only a reflection of the sufferings of Christ who lived in David's heart. And so also today, the sufferings that we bear are but the remnants of what Christ bore for us and in our place. And especially do we find this psalm leading us to Jesus as the intensity of his suffering increases. In the previous verses, verses 12 and 13, the psalmist speaks of he complains of the cruelty and fierce rage of his enemies, comparing them first to strong bulls and then to hungry and roaring lions. Well, I think many of you boys realize that when the anger of bulls is kindled, they're a fierce animal. You don't want to tangle with a strong bull. And the bulls of Bashan were noted as exceptionally large and mean bulls. And those hungry and roaring lions, that makes us think of Daniel, doesn't it? Being thrown into the lion's den. A lion is a cruel beast and dreadful to face, especially when he's hungry. We look at this description of the psalmist's enemies and we can say, yes, David is speaking of his own life and the difficult circumstances in which he faced against his enemies. His enemies were so eager to shed his blood, so cruel in their disposition, they resembled bulls and lions more than human beings. And there are times in our lives, perhaps, when we face people like that. And those times are going to increase. They open their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. And you know, sometimes the sinfulness of our own flesh comes to expression that way, doesn't it? Sometimes school children can show such a fierce disposition, a wretched disposition, that they resemble more a beast than a young person. They open their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. But as we proceed through this psalm, we reach a point where we can no longer say of David, at this particular point in his life, this is what he experienced. And that begins in the words of the text we consider today and continues in the following verses. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell, I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. You recognize these verses find their direct fulfillment in the gospel accounts that speak of the suffering of our Savior and the crucifixion of our Lord. But all these sufferings, as they intensified, brought forth the confession from the inspired psalmist that we consider for a little while today from verses 14 and 15. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. What a terrible, terrible description of the suffering servant of Jehovah. I take as my theme, brought into the dust of death. And we consider three points taken from the text: poured out, dried up, facing death for us. Verse 14 speaks in powerful figurative language of the sad personal confession of the suffering servant of Jehovah. He is poured out. He was completely spent, like water poured upon the ground. You know, we sometimes speak of someone being crushed under the cares of this life as suffering a breakdown. The Holy Spirit uses here a stronger figure. Broken down, as terrible as is that expression, even more terrible the experience, is too weak an expression to convey the speed and the dreadfulness of that which the psalmist experienced. Poured out like water. Not like oil in the winter, which flows slowly. Not like milk being poured out of a jug. But as quickly as water rushes down the mountainside. If you take a cup, and that cup's filled with water, and you pour it very slowly, you can get the water to fall out drop by drop, can't you? But the psalmist speaks of that cup being turned upside down so that all that water in a single rush of irresistible force is poured, emptied upon the ground. And that which was poured out fundamentally and essentially was the fury of the Lord's anger. So the expression is used in Isaiah 42, verse 25. Therefore hath he poured upon him the fury of his anger. It was a consuming fury, encompassing this servant of Jehovah and carrying him right along with it, so that he was left to confess, I am poured out like water. He was swept along in the consciousness of himself being out of control. All the strength of his life, all the courage of his soul, all the energy of his will was poured out into the abyss. The consequence of his being poured out affected his entire body. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Some of you have probably experienced dislocated bones. Perhaps you've suffered a dislocated finger or a dislocated shoulder, and you realize then the psalmist speaks of intense pain, doesn't he? It's a pain compounded by the language that all my bones are out of joint. Now, in days of old, it was common practice in warfare or in the punishment of serious crime to take the enemy or a criminal and to lay him upon a rack where he would be stretched out and tied hands and feet to a system of ropes and pulleys. And once he was tied, they would begin cranking the pulley. And that act of torture would pull a person apart until all his bones were out of joint. Imagine the pain that causes the psalmist to speak this way. We read in Psalm 6, verse 2, he could only cry out, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, for my bones are vexed." But when we read Psalm 22, did you notice in the opening verses, he received no answer. And this extreme affliction and intense pain made him to feel like wax melted in the heat. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. As wax melts before the fire, so did the sufferer of Psalm 22, at the fury and the wrath of God that was poured out upon him, indeed, that swept him along right toward the agonies of hell itself. Poured out. The expression and all that follows in this 14th verse speaks of being powerless before all the suffering that he bears. Think upon the horror conveyed in this text. Poured out like water. All my bones out of joint. Heart like wax melted in the midst of my bowels. To be completely disabled. Unable to look up. Drawing near to death with none to deliver. That's the sense of it. And that is what the Holy Spirit would convey to you and to me, that we might see Jesus. The cross, the most terrible of deaths, marked the death that was cursed of God. But the cross itself did not express the horror of Christ's death. After all, there were many others who died upon the cross. It was a common means of crucifixion of criminals. The execution of the death sentence. But no one, but Jesus alone, while hanging on that cross, was crucified in his soul with an anguish that can only be portrayed in these most terrible pictures. Because no one can understand the depths of his suffering. It was the suffering of hellish agonies. The bearing of the whole crushing burden of God's infinite wrath against the sins of all his people from the beginning to the end of the world. And in this anguish of powerlessness, Christ died, as it were, millions of deaths. He who possessed such power that he created the universe. He before whom every man must bow. He who is powerful to resist every temptation. and to remain in pure obedience to God in perfect love was poured out, rendered powerless by the infinite expression of God's holy wrath. Mind you, if the very heart of Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, melted at the apprehension of divine wrath, who can possibly stand before Jehovah when He deals with him in His wrath? Frightful are the words of Jesus, are the words of God to Israel in the midst of their abominations. I refer now to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 14, when He speaks of the judgments they shall bear for their wickedness, having rejected the Word of God. Can thine heart endure? Can thine hands be strong in the day that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will also do it. What would be our case if Christ had not borne this suffering in our place and for us? But that's what He bore for us, for you who believe. Amazing mystery of divine grace. But the text continues to speak of that intense suffering, not only in terms of being poured out, but also being dried up. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. What's involved in this imagery, this picture? You know, we stand here before the work of a potter. And the potter takes a piece of clay and he spins it on a wheel and carefully forms it according to his purpose. From that clay he might make a bowl or a pot or a pitcher. And he then takes his handiwork, still moist and soft, and he puts it into the oven. And there the heat of that oven attacks that clay vessel and draws every particle of moisture from it, scorching it until it's hard like granite. And when the heat has finished its work, that clay vessel has become a vessel of stone. And it's removed from the oven soon to be sold and put to use for its particular purpose. But sometimes the heat is more than a particular vessel can bear. And it breaks. It falls to the hot floor of that oven and there it lies. That's a potsherd. That potsherd remains very brittle. No one pays attention to it. Day after day it faces the fierce heat of that oven, and it glows and burns, but is never seen as the handiwork of its maker. Rather, it's a reject. If anyone will find any use for it at all, perhaps it's a piece big enough that when the coals have cooled and the ash bin needs to be emptied, they might use it to carry out some of the ashes from the floor of the oven and then throw it away. There's one more thing we should notice about this figure of the potsherd. Such an earthen clay vessel made by the potter was quite porous. And so with a potsherd. Because that was so, we find in Leviticus 11, verse 33, that it would absorb the uncleanness of unclean things, symbolic of the soaking up of sin. So later in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 19, we find that Jeremiah would buy and break an earthenware pot at God's command to symbolize how Israel had so absorbed sin, they had to be destroyed according to God's law. Now, with those things in mind, we see the Holy Spirit now pointing us to the suffering of our Messiah as the burning of a potsherd. Having absorbed the sins of his people and becoming worthless to the potter, and I speak figuratively now, the suffering that Christ bore was the heat of God's burning wrath against all his elect. All his strength was dried up in the tremendous heat of that divine avenging justice. Eternal misery. That's what's pictured here. The wrath of God at even a single sin, we can't even imagine. Because even a single sin is such an offense to the perfect holiness of God that it requires an infinite measure of punishment, infinite wrath. And who can describe that infinite punishment of body and soul that Jesus had to suffer in our place? Eternal misery? We can't fathom it. It's beyond our human comprehension. But how dreadful are the images that Scripture uses to portray it. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Terrible screams of anguish. And they never end. Hell is still there. It's so dreadful. So indescribably terrible. Dried up like a potsherd. Bearing the heat of infinite wrath. That's the sufferer of Psalm 22. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. One of the most difficult afflictions as one nears death is the dryness and horrible thirst that goes unquenched. When a person can no longer swallow, the glands in the mouth dry up, and along with that suffering comes the inability to speak clearly, as the tongue cleaves to the jaws, to use the language of the text. And you well recall the words of the suffering that Jesus uttered from the cross. I thirst. An unsatisfied thirst is a dreadful misery. Jeremiah, in his book of Lamentation, described in chapter 4, verse 4, the pitiful scene of the captive Israelites as they bore the chastisements of their own sin. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. One can do without food, especially in periods of illness, for a long period of time. But thirst must be quenched if life is to continue. Think of the parable of Luke 18, the rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man opened his eyes in hell, he would long for all the world to have but a drop of cool water to cool the tip of his tongue. It was such hellish agony that were suffered by the one who came the fulfillment of the sufferer of Psalm 22, our Lord Jesus Christ. To be thirsty is often set before us in Scripture as a picture of spiritual need. We sing of it in Psalm 42, for example. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The similar figure is used in the confession of the Psalm of the psalmist in Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. God's most glorious promises are said in Isaiah 44, verse 3, to be summarized in this. I will pour water upon them, him that is thirsty. That's the promise of the gospel. But the sufferer in Psalm 22, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, did not taste that water during the hours of his intense suffering. Instead, his tongue cleaved to his jaw. Again, it was so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled for you and for me. What we read in Revelation 21, verse 6, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. It was only in the way of such suffering that Jesus could become to us the living water. But how intense was that suffering? And with his tongue cleaving to his jaws, he kept silent. He answered not a word to the charges of those who brought false witness against him. He spoke not against the justice of God, nor against the people at whose hands he suffered these things. He gave himself to God in perfect obedience, facing death for us. So his sufferings would culminate in this. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. The dust of death stands in stark contrast to the concept of life. Life was first given when God created man out of the dust. Dust itself, you remember, was but one of the creative handiworks of God. But the book of Genesis in chapter 2 tells us that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. What an amazing work that was. Psalm 139 tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Living testimonies of the marvelous works of God. But dust creatures for all that. Dust creatures given life by the very word and breath of God himself. But he did not give us independent life. We're always dependent upon him. Should God let go of us, what would become of us except that we become dust again? And therefore, when man showed contempt for the life God had given him in his fellowship, when man cut the tie, as it were, that bound him to God and sought instead to serve the devil, the curse followed, as God had said. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The dust of death. Death, we've heard many times from Scripture, is the wages of sin. And because all have sinned, we all live with those wages. They're certain wages. But the one who came the fulfillment of the sufferer of Psalm 22 is one who was not subject to that death. He had no sin. He bore not the guilt of the first Adam. And yet, wonder of wonders, we read of him in Philippians 2 verse 6 and following, that though he is God, yet he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Dust, in other words. Into our terrible destruction, the Messiah entered. He took our nature, the nature of dust, fallen dust, the dust of death, and he did that by taking our guilt upon himself. That's what wrung from him this cry of Psalm 22. All the suffering, all the sorrows, all the reproach, the scorn, the persecution, all the wrath of God pressed him into the dust of death. With us, the dust of death consumes us. First we are sick, then we die, we are lowered into the grave, and our bodies turn to dust again. We're taken captive. With Christ, it's different. He gave himself to the dust of death. It must have been dreadful beyond our imagination for our Savior to sink to such depths for us. Such is the cry of verse 15. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. God laid him there, even as he gave himself to it. He did so that the dust of death might be overcome for us. Through suffering, to glory. Dust couldn't destroy his body. Yes, he was laid in the dust of death, enclosed in the tomb behind a door of stone. But there the dust suffered an amazing defeat. The spirit of life overcame. Resurrection life. Christ overcame the dust of death. But our text doesn't bring us there yet. That's for next Sunday. It would have us contemplate the horror of events by which our salvation was accomplished. Think upon the sufferings of the man of sorrows as he was brought into the dust of death. People of God, do you live before that cross? Have you seen the dreadfulness of that which Jesus had to endure for you and in your place? For us, that only begotten Son of God suffered. He suffered that which we should have had to suffer. He suffered in our place. To understand the cross, you and I, together with all God's elect, past, present, and future, must stand at the foot of that cross and ask ourselves, what should I have had to suffer? If I would have to bear the righteous retribution for all my sins. What's the price of that hatred that has been uncovered in my heart? What's the price of that filthy speech? What should I suffer for the scorn I cast upon my classmate, my neighbor? What must I answer to God for what I have sent in that Snapchat message? Or in that text? Or what I posted on Facebook? What's the price of my fornication or my drunkenness? What must I bear for the sins that I have committed against God by my self-seeking? By my chasing the things of this world at the cost of the far more precious and necessary spiritual thing? Have you asked yourself these questions? As you stood at the feet of Him who cried unto God with the words of this text? Have you considered what you have merited with God? Consider the fierceness of this indescribable wrath, this intense heat of God's righteous anger. I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. This suffering servant of Jehovah, who grieved at the persecutions of those who passed by, now says, as we read in Lamentations 1 verse 12, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. And then, when you have considered what you deserve, what would be the measure of that suffering? When you take this one and that one and count up all the sins of all God's people from the beginning to the end of the world, if you can somehow begin to contemplate the horror of an infinite measure of divine wrath, if you can somehow put all those eternal sufferings together to form an infinite ocean of immeasurable suffering in body and soul, then perhaps you can begin to understand the indescribably horrible suffering that Jesus bore for us when God brought Him into the dust of death. Suffering, no drop has been spared Him. That was the cup He drank at Calvary. Do you live in Him who so satisfied the justice of God? Have you confessed your sins before Him? Do you live at the cross? Only there is a fountain that flows with the blessings of salvation, your salvation. And only from that fountain do you and I live as those redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Gracious Father, we weep at the sins that led our Savior to the cross. Our sins, more than we can count. And we plead forgiveness. By Thy grace, by the faith Thou hast given us, we lay hold of our faithful Savior and His righteousness, and we rejoice in the victory that is ours over the dust of death. And as we this week contemplate the sufferings of our Lord, lead us next Sunday to see the glorious victory of the resurrection of our Savior, and to hear that resurrection gospel for Jesus' sake. Amen.